Support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC comes from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, architecture and engineering for the new frontier. Good afternoon. I'm your Alaska Live host, Lori Neufeld. Scottish fiddler Alistair Fraser and cellist extraordinaire Natalie Haas join me today for Alaska Live. Thank you.
It's very nice to be here.
Thanks.
And let's get started with a song that you have prepared for us, cello and fiddle duo. I can't wait to hear it.
Straight into the tunes.
Yes.
This is actually a tune I wrote for my dad, who was a piper and a bass player, and then a very traditional old Scottish reel after that.
Thank you.
Esther Frazier and Natalie Haas joined me in the studio for Alaska Live. Alistair, you said you wrote that tune for your dad.
Yes.
Oh, it's wonderful. What a terrific tune. Did you write that with Natalie on cello in mind, or did you write it?
Kind of. It certainly has that stately, processional kind of feel to it, which just lends itself to one of the many voices that Natalie brings to the cello. And so it's just a beautiful fit. But he was a piper, and it's a 3-4 march that pipers often like to play. And he had kind of that kind of way of walking. I love to think of him when I play that tune. So it's a joy. We haven't played it for ages, actually. So it was kind of fun to start the day that way. But
well, thank you so much for sharing it with us, because it was a really nice tune. And I like the story behind it, too. So you grew up in a musical family with your dad as a piper. And
I did. I had lots of music around the house and, kind of asking questions about what the Scottish tradition really means and what it means to speak in your own voice. And I studied violin at school and did a lot of classical work, and then went home and played Scottish songs and fiddle tunes. So I kind of grew up bilingually in a way, and then finally just went over to the other side completely, and now just swim in these
the waters of
traditional music.
Scottish fiddle tradition, yeah. Well, Natalie, I know that you're from a musical family. Have you been here to Alaska Live before?
I don't think so. It's probably
your
my sister.
Sister who has been here numerous times, Brittany Haas.
We get confused a lot.
She plays fiddle, you play cello. I get it. But I was thinking, Natalie Haas, I'm sure she's been here at least once, but no, your sister has been here quite a few times, including just last summer. She was here with Lauren Rue.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah, uh-huh. She was, they were both teaching at the Bluegrass Camp for Kids.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I know that you do a lot of teaching yourself, don't you?
Yeah, I'm involved in all of Alistair's fiddle camps. He has 4 around the globe now, and we do lots of teaching on the road as well, workshops. And
just because it's called a fiddle camp doesn't mean that you have to have play a fiddle.
No, absolutely not. Cello is just kind of an extension of the fiddle. This is big fiddle. We have guitars, singing, dancing,
bass.
Piano, bass, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Basically, it's life. It's just living life from the fiddler's perspective, which it doesn't leave out anything, really.
Great. Both of you are here for Fairbanks Concert Association in partnership with Acoustic Accents Concert tonight, and that's at Herring Auditorium at 8 o'clock. And the show that you put on, I bet, is just a nice evening of a duo of different kinds of music, I would think, too. Not just Celtic, but you have some, or is it all pretty much Celtic and Scottish?
Well, yes and no. It's kind of Celtic, looking across the range of what these two instruments are capable of doing from the Celtic standpoint, but having a lot of kind of modern influence as well. And it's really just music that we both love. And some of it's old and some of it's new. And it's mostly just us having a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once you start drinking from that well, and kind of looking at the different... Even if you went to the Celtic diaspora or the Scottish diaspora, you follow the music, which I say often. We follow the fiddle, and there's hardly a culture on this planet that doesn't express its heart and soul by means of instruments like these. So
and,
it's kind of a wide open field, and we love to touch in on beautiful soulful areas and then also just get really down and energetic. And I guess people are often surprised when they think of a duo, you think of two instruments, but our goal is to create this kind of maximal sound and different textures. So we have quite a sonic palette.
Well, and what I heard
with the two of us.
What I heard in that first song that you were playing, it was like the two of you were having a conversation, and then the harmonies came together, and it was really like this cool musical dialogue that you had going on. And how many years has that taken to get that down between the two of you? Because I guess you've been playing for a while together.
Yeah. it's hard to kind of pin down when I suppose we really started playing. But Natalie came to one of my fiddle camps when
That's
she was 11 years
met.
Old.
Oh, so, when she was 11.
So, but, you know, gradually she became more and more kind of in my domain, and I found that there was this amazing cellist emerging, that, and I was looking for a cellist to go and explore with.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, Natalie can correct me on the details here, but when she was, I think we started playing when she was around 16.
Oh, yeah.
And then we've been touring for over 13 years or something like that. Oh,
about
just
right.
Gave away your age.
No.
She's okay with that, I'm sure.
So, yeah, and conversational is really a big part of the goal, because we just, that's what we do. We sit down and we converse, we provoke, we question, we throw up ideas, you know, to be toyed around with and explored, and it's very, very fulfilling, actually.
Well, should we have another musical conversation go on here then? So intriguing.
There's a tune that we recorded a few years ago that was one of those tunes in traditional music that, as soon as it was written by Roger Talroth, who plays in a band called Vessen from Sweden,
mm-hmm.
It just caught on. You know, everyone wanted to play it. Everyone wanted to hear it. It's now a standard in the repertoire. And we, of course, never tire of playing this tune, so we thought it'd be nice to unleash it again today, and it's called Josephine's Waltz.
Thank you.
Such soaring melodies in that. I can see why you choose that song to play over and over again.
It's a melody that's now well loved by many people. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And Natalie, I've had other cellists here in this room, and it sounds so rich and so warm and so beautiful. Are you, like, now when we're talking about how beautiful your cello sounds, are you playing sword fighting with the bows there?
Not intentionally. I kept glaring at Alistair during that first piece because he was about to bump into his scroll with my bow.
The visual would be so great, you know, the looks between us here as I get so close to knocking her bow.
You know, we seated you just about as far apart as you could be over there. So at first you wanted to sit the other way around, and Natalie and Alistair said, how would that work well?
He doesn't usually sit down when we're playing. I think that's the problem.
You're both seated for this Alaska Live.
We'll be standing tonight, though.
Does he make you stand, Natalie?
No, okay. But I do get a podium, though. My very own podium.
Yeah, she insists on her podium.
So even though you'll be seated on stage, you'll still be about at the same height.
She's elevated.
Very good.
So many ways.
Part of the rider that Natalie gets a podium for herself and her cello. You've been touring a lot, it seems like, together. You just got back from, what, Scotland?
Yeah, we spent about a week and a half there at an amazing festival that happens every January called Celtic Connections, which is bringing together all these traditions that are somehow can be traced back to Celtic music.
I've heard of it from Thistle and Shamrock or from other people who've been here, maybe.
Yeah, it's an amazing festival. 3 weeks in the cold of winter in Glasgow. We had a wonderful time over there.
It's amazing, actually. That was its 20th year. And when that festival first began, there was a lot of doubt. You know, people saying, that's never going to work. No one's going to come to Glasgow in January. You know, after Christmas and New Year,
it's
the holidays.
It's a little chilly and
people
rainy.
People are going to go and hide and warm their toes at the fireplace. And they couldn't have been more wrong, because it is absolutely jumping. You know, it's the opposite. People need a place to go and to celebrate. And
I was just going to say that. People need to get out.
Yeah, it's just so wonderful. So there are, you know, great musical, artistic fires burning all over the city. It's very exciting.
We find that here in Fairbanks, you know, a lot of the really cool concerts and cultural events happen in winter because people want to come out and be with their friends and have this common experience, even if it is 50 below, which it is not today. We're so happy. It's snowy, so it can't be 50 below. But, you know, you find that people really want to get out and be with each other and play music, experience music and arts and culture.
It's interesting. A lot of this music, you know, the music we play is from the northern climes. You know, it's from areas where people do gather to make music together. And, you know, that
it reminds
fast
me
music
of,
and expressive music. And it's as though there's a kind of a need to gather and do that and get through these months together. So.
It reminds me a lot of the Athabaskan fiddle music, too. You know, this Scottish fiddle tradition. And I think it all came kind of from the same area and spread out.
It's all searching in the same areas, I think.
Alistair, are you from anywhere near Glasgow, or is that not your area of Scotland?
Well, it's near.
Okay.
You know, it's 30 miles away.
Oh, yeah,
which actually
close.
Is a long way away in Scotland, but it's...
well, if you had to walk it.
Really, it's just 30 miles. And you know, it's... but, you know, it's great when you go back to Scotland, or even just to Europe. We spend a lot of time in Spain playing, and one of the great thrills is to be aware of dialects and regional variation, which is still alive and well in a lot of countries. And, you know, the way the Glasgow accent in Scotland is very different from the accent where I grew up 30 miles away.
Really?
And and you could follow that even musically. And as I say, in Spain, you know, not only can you find the music varying regionally, but the the food, the wines, you can taste the, you know, peppers in one place are going to be different from the peppers 10 miles away. And it just adds to the richness of it all.
And so is it nice to go back and see your friends and meet new friends when you're in Scotland?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And you don't live there now?
I don't live there now. I'm based in California. But I've always kind of maintained a presence there, more than a presence. You know, I have a fiddle school on the Isle of Skye, so we're very actively involved in promoting the music, the culture, the language, as I was mentioning there, and, you know, using it to enable people to find their voice and express themselves in their mother tongue, so to speak. So it's a privilege to be part of that and to be touring.
Natalie, does it take more concentration on your part when you hear all these different dialects to...
Oh, yeah. I still have trouble understanding some people, especially Alistair's dad. It took me about 10 years before I could do anything but nod and smile.
Smile and nod. That's the international language for, yeah. I hear you.
I feel very at home there now. It's great.
Because you've been there many times, huh?
Yeah. We've been there for at least 10 years now.
Oh, wow. Mm. Alistair, what were you going to say?
Just about my dad. You know, he would often find that people were not understanding it, and they would smile and nod. But he knew, of course, that they weren't receiving. And he used to talk to me about how people thought they were faking it really well, you know. But he could see a mile off that it wasn't going in at all, you know. He got a kick out of that.
Right, because every once in a while he was not talking about something you would want to smile at.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Talking about playing a funeral, and you're like, oh.
Or you ask a question, you know, and someone smiles, and you know, it's not working. Something's wrong.
That's right. Well, you know, it doesn't always work. One of your fellow Scotsmen was just on Alaska Live. Also, Seamus Kennedy was here. And do you know of him? Has he been to Celtic Connections? Or
I know. Yeah, we know Seamus from different festivals.
Sure.
Yeah.
He was
great
just.
Guy.
Yeah,
great
he
guy.
Was just here. He loves to come to Alaska in the winter, also, because people need to be entertained.
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah. He's a very funny guy.
I was surprised at from the posters I saw, you know, he's kind of wacky and whatever, but he has this really sensitive side too that was really wonderful to be able to bring that out too. It was a good session too.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, and it's really wonderful to have touring musicians here on Alaska Live as well as our local musicians. Have you done a camp here in Alaska? Also, Alistair, you had said that you had been in Alaska.
Yeah. Over the years, you know, we've played here. We haven't played Fairbanks before. And
right.
I haven't done any camps here.
I haven't either.
I don't think we've done
any.
No. That was your sister.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I heard great things about it, though.
Yeah, we do have people come from this area down to the other camps in California and, you know, people show up all over the place. It gets very confusing, actually.
Actually, we did do, Alistair brought his fiddle group up from San Francisco. That was one of my first times playing with him, actually, in 1999.
Francisco Scottish Fiddle Orchestra?
Yeah, we did a big Alaska tour. We didn't make it this far north, but it was great fun.
Kodiak, was that?
Kodiak and Anchorage and...
So, Natalie, you were part of the fiddle orchestra.
I was at that time, yeah.
Well, that answers that question, that it's not just fiddles in the fiddle orchestra.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I got you.
We use that word fiddle, you know, as I said, we got to change that name.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, they call the bass fiddle sometimes, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's really a bass. And what would that be, a tenor fiddle? A cello?
I've never heard it
alto,
called that, but yeah.
Alto fiddle.
Sure.
Yeah.
It needs a name. It doesn't have a name.
It needs a fiddle name. It needs a fiddle family name.
Yeah, because people think of, you know, like an accordion orchestra or a ukulele orchestra.
Those do exist.
Right. But they are all ukuleles, I think. But the fiddle orchestra has, you know, many different colors and characters and usually includes a bit of dancing and singing as well. So,
wonderful.
It all emanates from the fiddle. But,
so you have dancers on stage with you too.
Yeah, because the fiddle, you know, that's one of its great roles throughout history has been to provoke people to get off their seats and actually jump around. And
yes, Nor'easter, you know, was just here, the dance band from Boston-based dance band, and one or two of them at least have been to Berklee School of Music, where I know you're familiar with, very familiar with. Mm-hmm. And they were just here last Friday and putting on dance workshops, and they were on Alaska Live, right, and they were sharing their dance music in a venue like this. And boy, that is so fun. Mm. Yeah. Speaking of fun, it's fun to talk to you, and it's also really fun to hear some tunes. This is Natalie Haas, cello, and Scottish fiddler Alistair Fraser on KUAC's Alaska Live.
And this is, again, it's an old Scottish reel, but it's, we're taking a new look at it, as we do with a lot of these tunes, and kind of re-releasing it in a way. So it's called The Pitnacree Ferryman.
Just delightful. I like your reworking of, what was the name of that tune, Alistair?
The Pitnacree Ferryman.
Hmm, you say it so nicely, too.
Thanks.
There's nothing better than a Scottish fiddle tune, you know, stated in the Scottish accent. That's perfect.
Rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, something that Natalie and I cannot probably pull off as well as you can. Natalie, you've been teaching at the Berklee School of Music, and that's Berklee with two E's, not the Y one that's in California. Right. It's the one that's in Boston. And quite a few people in Alaska would be familiar with that school because a lot of our Alaskans have gone there or are there right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't actually been there for a few years. I taught there while I was living in Boston a few years ago. And unfortunately, the commute from Montreal, where I live now, is a little too much to work in with our touring schedule. So I haven't been there for a few years. So I don't know any of the Alaskans that are there right now. But I do have some good Alaskan friends in Boston. It's an amazing place. It's really the only place you can go in the country if you want to study something other than classical or jazz on a stringed instrument.
Right, because the study there is more like acoustic and traditional based music.
Yeah, and jazz and pop and rock and pretty much anything you could imagine you can do there, which is
you
amazing.
Can get a degree in rock music there.
Absolutely, yeah. Awesome. and especially for the string players, that's really rare. I mean, you can it's full of guitar players, as you can imagine, but. The string department is going really strong, and there's now an acoustic music track there, spearheaded by Matt Glazer, and so it's really a happening place. And Boston, the music scene there is just really thriving, and Berklee has a lot to do with that.
Hopefully, they're hunkering down right now. There's a huge storm on the way or hitting there.
Yeah, we're kind of oblivious to it, but gradually information's leaking through.
So. I know we've got some snow here, but I don't think it's anything compared to what they're experiencing
there.
You guys
are used to it here.
Right. Totally. We know how to dig out. Yeah. I think it's a great place for musicians also to meet fellow musicians and put together, you know, one of your first bands that could be a professional touring band. And a lot of people have come out of that, I think. I think that Daryl Anger has gone through and picked some people. Your sister, I think that's the first time I ever met her. She was here when she was pretty young up here
with
Daryl Anger.
Oh,
yeah.
Great. Wow.
That was years ago.
Yeah. Daryl's teaching at Berklee now.
And, he is.
Yeah. And so is Bruce Molsky and Maeve Gilchrist. And
Bruce Molsky, he plays banjo?
Banjo and fiddle and guitar and sings. Mm-hmm. Just some of the best people are there right now. So it's a great place to be. Well, her son goes there. He's majoring in composition. And
your son is there at Berklee right now, Alistair.
Yeah. He's doing songwriting now. But he's been just sampling the whole smorgasbord of the offerings there, and he's having a great time.
What does he play?
Fiddle.
No way.
Yeah, but again, you know, he's launched, as I said, he's into songwriting now. And so that's one of the great things about Berklee, is that it is one of the rare institutions in this country where you can actually explore other ways of expressing yourself there. Not the classical realm. And we do love the classical music
realm.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of places to study that.
But there are so many, you know, ways in this planet of expressing your soul through music. And
it's
finally beginning to happen. You
know? East Tennessee is the other place I know of that is doing music other for strings other than classical music.
I think that and Berklee are the only places.
But you're so right. I mean, there's so many ways of expressing yourself through music, and there's plenty of places like Juilliard. Did you go to Juilliard, Natalie?
Uh huh. And it's, you know, obviously one of the best for classical music.
Absolutely.
But they got a jazz program the year that I started there in 2001, and I had a friend who tried to apply as a violinist to get in there, and they didn't accept him. Based on the fact that he was a violinist, not because he's an amazing player and he would have gotten in no problem had they been open-minded enough for that. But it's still very much conservatory mindset, conserving the traditions rather than kind of pushing the boundaries.
good to know that there are places out there that students can go and learn, you know, about traditional music too, because it's an important way of preserving and making the traditional music grow. And like you're, you know, rewriting and rearranging these songs that have been in the tradition for so long, as I'm sure other composers have done also.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's once you leave the classical realm, it's, you know, we used to call it world music, which I always thought was horribly frustrating. You know, like there's classical music and there's world music.
Yeah.
And once you open that Pandora's box of world music, this amazing just series of expression and challenges comes up. We had a music school in Spain. It's called Crisol de Cuerda, which means crucible of strings, and we look at the violin and the way it expresses music from many different cultures. And last year we had Hungarian, Romanian influences there, and you know, there's so much to learn and so much to appreciate and enjoy that
Quartet,
it's totally inspiring.
Quartet San Francisco just put out, I don't know if it's their most recent CD, but it's called World Music, and it's WHIRLED. And
oh, that's
so,
right. Yeah, we know these guys.
I bet you do. You live somewhere near San Francisco, maybe, sort of?
I'm up in the Sierra Foothills.
Okay. Yeah. And so I thought that that was a really cool take. Like you're talking about, you know, it's not necessarily, world music is kind of a funny name for a genre because... Okay, so if you're in Spain, do you call music from the U.S. world music? Because,
yeah, we got to break that down. Zoom in a little bit.
Yeah, zoom in a little bit.
It's very rewarding.
Not only zoom in, we're like putting it in this big melting pot these days, too, and bringing in so many different traditions into this tradition.
That's what, you know, you asked at the beginning of this program, do we play Scottish music? And that's kind of where I emanate from, for sure. But my self-assigned challenge is to be a multilingual musician, you know, to play in as many different languages or dialects as I can on my fiddle. And yet, Scottish is my first language. But I love to have that approach where you can learn the other ways of expressing same ideas, you know, in different languages.
You guys are headed to another world almost, to Australia, right? Wow.
Yeah.
And I can just imagine that there might be a didgeridoo player that wants to, you know, jam with you. And how cool would that be?
Very cool. It wouldn't be the first time.
Oh, good.
That's for sure, yeah.
Have you been to Australia before?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. This will not be your first tour there.
I remember trying to chase down some bush fiddlers in a bush band, you know, and speaking of sort of gathering, making a big stew out of all the different influences, Australia's a great place for that because, you know, all kinds of people have wandered into Australia and contributed to the musical soup that is there. And bush fiddling is great because you can hear people playing in these bush bands and you think, oh, that's a Scottish tune. No, it's got some kind of Eastern European influence. In fact, one of my favorite CDs of all time is a Greek recording that was made in Brunswick, Australia, just outside Melbourne. A bunch of Greek guys that lived in Australia, you know. So you never know what you're going to stumble upon.
And, you know, maybe a kangaroo here and there or a koala bear.
Yeah, Natalie was complaining that on our last trip to Australia, days were going by and we hadn't seen one. So our host actually took us out on a special mission to find a kangaroo.
I hear you can see them in cities, just like, you know, you go to Anchorage to see moose sometimes.
Yeah, right.
You can see the kangaroos in the urban areas.
Yeah.
Have you seen any moose yet?
You know, we saw one when we were here with the San Francisco Scottish Fiddlers.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
But not on this trip yet.
We began the day with a reindeer sausage. So, you know, we've arrived.
Yes. You can drive past the large animal research station here at the university, and you can see muskox and reindeer. So
wow.
Just so you know, that can be a part of your tour today. It's nothing like seeing a muskox just covered in snow because it doesn't melt on them. They're so well insulated with
wow.
their, you know, hair and fur that it just doesn't melt on them.
They just include it
yeah.
in their life.
Oh, can we hear another tune from you guys? It's just so great, and it'll be wonderful to see you on the Herring Auditorium stage this evening at 8 o'clock, too.
Yeah, we're looking yeah. forward to that.
Yeah, we really
yeah.
are. So we're thinking a tune that we've been playing a lot. It's called Farley Bridge, written by Duncan Chisholm, who's a fellow Scottish fiddler back home.
Gorgeous. What was the name of that again?
Farley Bridge.
Farley Bridge. Are you looking forward to playing some of your son's compositions one of these days, too?
Oh. Yeah, we already do, actually.
Oh, good.
A couple of them. Yeah.
You have recordings with the two of you. You have three out, is that right? Or you have more than that?
three, and then kind of a fourth one that was part of a series I was working on many years ago called The Legacy of the Scottish Fiddle, where we're looking at, you know, the different evolution of the fiddle in the different regions. And Natalie joined myself and Paul Machlis on that CD. That was early days. But yeah, basically three where we...
And there's Legacy of the Scottish Fiddle Volume 2.
Oh, hey.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget about that. Alistair, there's Volume 2.
Which is also part of that same project, but a different region and period of history. And I'm actually on that whole album.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Volume 1 and 2.
Yeah,
not to be
Volume
forgotten.
2, it was a lot of fun. It was a kind of a very 18th century look at the music of Robert Burns, the tunes that inspired Burns to create his songs and set his poetry to the existing tunes of the day. So fiddle, cello, and piano.
I love it how you make the music come alive when you talk about it, too. I can tell you're both educators and that you're good at what you do. You not only make it come alive when you're playing, but you can talk about the music in a way that, you know, you want to learn more about it. And I think that's great.
I feel like it's, you know, I've been accused of having a sort of a missionary zeal. Because I just...
Spread the good news.
Totally, yeah. And, you know, from growing up in Scotland, I would find these tunes that people weren't really playing very much. And that made me want to inquire why, you know. And so you end up finding these nuggets that are just lying around that haven't been explored or used for years, hundreds of years sometimes. It's so great to dig up one of these nuggets and hold it out with your outstretched hand and just have people go, wow, that's a great tune. Why don't we use that? You know, and so it's kind of a privilege to get to do that, yeah.
Well, tell me about this piece that we picked out to play from one of your releases, Highlander's Farewell. And we picked out
The Grande Tang.
Tang and Hull's Reel.
Yeah, and it kind of brings in another part of the musical world that we're very interested in, is Cape Breton Island, Nova Scotia, you know. And so there's a couple of tunes written by Cape Bretoners. Howie MacDonald wrote the first one's called The Grande Tang. And then the late, great John Morris Rankin of the Rankin family, who was a wonderful fiddler and pianist and
that sounds familiar from Thistle and Shamrock, I think.
Could well be, yeah. So that was one of the many great tunes that he wrote. It's called Hull's Reel. So we put them together and had a bit of fun with it.
Well, let's listen to that off of the Highlander's Farewell recording from Alistair Fraser and Natalie Haas. Thank you. tune from Highlander's Farewell, the recording that recording from your own recording studio, correct? You've been producing your own CDs these days, Alistair?
Oh, for years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It makes it much more relaxing to put together a CD, I bet, that way.
It's just more organic, you know. It's more, it really is a, it's a cottage industry, I suppose, but it's, given what we do, it's, I found out many years ago that we don't fit into any record company mold, really. I don't really want to, yeah. You know. It's much more interesting to me to actually create the molds and you know, make our own statements.
Well, and I think for the two of you, you're touring enough that if you have your CDs with you, which you probably will tonight, I would think, you know, people will want to take some home with them. And that's a great way to get more of your music out there.
Yeah. So, you know, we're very hands-on with the whole process, including the graphics. It sounds so old-fashioned now. People download, but
yeah,
you know, there are graphics.
I know.
And there are beautiful covers. And
they
and
are beautiful
like that,
covers.
You know, that we care a lot about. So.
You've taken some wonderful photos and put them on your CDs. They're really nice, very nicely done.
Thanks.
Yeah. I wanted to mention that before we got started on Alaska Live, I had Yo-Yo Ma and Mark O'Connor and all that from Appalachian Waltz. And Mark O'Connor has been a huge influence on string music in that genre of, are we playing classical music or are we playing traditional or acoustic, you know? And have you studied with him, Natalie?
I started going to his fiddle camps when I was, a little bit after I started going to Alistair's fiddle camps, actually, uh-huh. when I was a teenager. And I actually played in a trio with him that was sort of a reincarnation of the Yo-Yo Ma Edgar Meyer project, but with viola and cello instead of cello and bass, which made the parts a little bit more doable. he's definitely been a huge influence on the string world and is an amazing talent. And his camps are another great kind of melting pot of where I met a lot of great inspirational fiddle teachers and got inspired by a lot of different people.
When he came and toured up here, he was with Sharon Isbind, a classical guitarist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's definitely kind of bridging the gap between the classical and the traditional music worlds. He has made a lot of progress in that.
Yeah, I would say so. That's right on the money there. Mm-hmm. It's been so wonderful to have you here. You're listening to Alaska Live on KUAC 89.9 FM and KUAC HD Fairbanks. My guests today, Alistair Fraser, Scottish fiddler, and Natalie Haas, cello. It's great to have you here. Finally, I figured that you had probably been here because your sister had been here so many times, but come to find out that, this is your first time here at the KUAC studios on Alaska Live. So, wonderful debut.
Thanks for having us.
Thank
it's
you.
Been great.
Do you have a finale for us?
Yeah, we're going to play a tune that was recorded on our first CD, which is called Fire and Grace. And again, it's one of those new tunes that came out that caught on hugely and is now kind of a main session staple. It's called Calliope House. Mm. Thank you.
Oh, that was terrific. Natalie Haas, wonderful to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Alistair Fraser, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thanks.
KUAC's Alaska Live series of live music and conversation with local and visiting artists is provided by a grant from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, architecture and engineering for the new frontier.